I'm Bill Littlefield. Coming up on Only a Game, a spirited competition involving the building of many things from canned food. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for a look at the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
A house made of ham.
No, it's canned. Well, I guess you could have a canned ham. Good point. The Detroit Tigers swept the New York Yankees in the ALCS, taking Game 4 on Thursday night. And for just the second time in team history, the Yankees never led in a postseason series. The first time was back in 1963 during the World Series, so we can conclude from this the Yankees will buy every available free agent this winter,
and
right?
And playing the role of Sandy Koufax in this year's revival of the 1963 World Series was Justin Verlander. The Yankees hit 188 in the postseason, which is the lowest batting average in the history of the postseason. They are a team with a stripped farm system, a roster that's getting old and is not very likable even as it gets old. I don't know how they're going to do it, Bill, but they are in for a major rehab.
Yankees third baseman Alex Rodriguez was benched for much of the postseason, but it's good to know that at least he was able to occupy himself while on the bench during the American League Championship Series, don't you think?
Yes, about the only thing that Alex Rodriguez managed to connect with in the postseason was an Australian bikini model named Kyna Tracy,
sure,
who he had an autographed baseball delivered to during Game 1 of the Championship Series.
Yeah.
This has caused a great yammering in New York tabloid land, but really, I mean, how can you fault a guy for sending an Australian bikini model an autographed baseball?
With his phone number on
with
it.
With his phone number on it. I was just hoping it sort of got intercepted by the woman selling the beer or the hot dogs or something, and then she ransomed his phone number back to him for about 10 million.
Lance Armstrong stepped down as chairman of the Livestrong Cancer Fighting Charity this week, Charlie. Nike, Armstrong's biggest supporter in the past, dropped him on Wednesday. Anheuser-Busch and various other sponsors have also bailed. Are you surprised to see that this may cost Armstrong up to $30 million a year?
I am not surprised. I'm a little bit surprised Nike acted as precipitously as it did, because generally they're waiting for all the facts to come out before they dump a high-profile athlete. But I think the rest of corporate America and, you know, him stepping down from his foundation and everything else, that's sort of all pointed the way. So, no, I'm not surprised. I am surprised Nike got out as fast as they did, but I'm not surprised that, you know, the world is coming crashing down around him now.
World Anti-Doping Agency Director General David Hauman said this week that the NBA has gaps in its anti-doping program. Currently, no North American sports league has adopted WADA's code of recommendations, so why should the NBA or any other league care about this declaration?
You know my feelings on the anti-doping police, who I think should find grown-up work at some point in their lives. I hope the NBA tells the WADA to go climb a tree. You know, is there any problem with the NBA that anyone can see? That the investigation by the WADA's, you know, personal rent-a-cops would improve the product? No. I think it's time for someone to say no to these people.
The Cleveland Browns were sold this week, and one of the first moves new owner Jimmy Haslam III made was to oust team president Mike Holmgren, which ought to change everything in Cleveland, right?
No, it won't change a thing, but under Mike Holmgren, the Browns had a .263 winning percentage, so whoever bought the team was very likely to get rid of him.
This week, the NFL Players Association filed papers in federal court, which they say demonstrate that the league allowed a bounty system back in 1996. Even if that's true, should that change anything regarding the recent disagreement over sanctions in New Orleans for the so-called bounty scandal?
No, I mean, you're arguing that this is always, I mean, this is an everybody does it argument, which is used always by people who happen to be the people who get caught doing something. I can't speak to the legal issues, but for my money, you know, you're the guys who got caught. This is the argument, among other people, Richard Nixon used to make, so I find it less than impressive.
This week, a federal magistrate ordered NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell to provide the court with documents related to the Saints scandal. Yesterday, Goodell announced former NFL Commissioner Paul Tagliabue will hear the appeals of the four suspended players. And meanwhile, a Saints fan has sued Mr. Goodell for being, quote, dictatorial and vindictive. If Commissioner Goodell could have foreseen the blizzard of papers sanctioning the bounty guys would inspire, you think he'd have gotten involved in the first place?
Yeah, because he is basically dictatorial, so he would have. I find the guy's lawsuit probably a nuisance suit, but on the merits, I think it's quite reasonable for the court to conclude that Mr. Goodell has acted like a dictator. He had to know that this was going to happen. He had to know there would be legalisms. He had to know that discovery was going to happen. So if he claims to be surprised that anybody's fighting him on this, he is actually the dictator that the gentleman who's suing him says he is.
The U.S. national football team, a.k.a. soccer team, led by Clint Dempsey's two goals, knocked off Guatemala on Tuesday to advance to the next round of qualifying for the 2014 World Cup. So have you booked your ticket for Rio yet?
Well, is that where they're going to have the World Cup next time?
Oh, man, I can't believe it.
Well, no, I'm all tangled up. I can't. It's like there's 9,000 different tournaments going on at once.
This is the actual World Cup.
Yeah, but to get there, you have to play in 52 tournaments.
Yes, you do.
Okay, where do they play next?
Well, the next World Cup is
no,
in Rio.
No, no, where do they play? The United States team, where do they play the next round?
The CONCACAF tournament is being negotiated as we speak.
So we don't even know where they're playing next.
We know they're going to be playing six other teams.
You know what?
Teams.
I'll buy my tickets to Rio because I have no idea where they're going to be playing the next game.
And Rio's
but I know
really
where
nice.
The World Cup is.
Good. Excellent. That was the gist of my question right there. On Friday, the NHL announced that it would cancel regular season games through November 1st, but the ongoing lockout has not prevented the league from publicizing the most recent class inducted into the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame. Did you know before reading the hockey news this week that Mike Modano is the highest-scoring U.S.-born player in NHL history?
I would not have guessed that, but it doesn't surprise me. I mean, he had a terrific career, and he played 1,459 games. So, yes, it was not a name that comes immediately to mind, but when you think about it, yes.
Yeah. Former basketball coach Bob Knight announced this week that he's going to be selling his championship rings and his Olympic gold medal and various articles of clothing as well. Any mention in the auction catalog of that chair he threw across the floor in one particular fit of temper?
No, but there should be, because that would get more money, I think, maybe than his championship rings and perhaps more than the Olympic gold medal.
Charlie, it's not often that you see a mascot for, a high school football team in Kentucky rally the team to win, not as a mascot, but as a quarterback. But it happened on October 11th.
Not so fast there, Mr. Littlefield.
Tell us about the exploits of one Trent Bauer.
Yeah, he went from bulldog mascot to clutch starting quarterback and threw two fourth-quarter touchdowns, and his team beat Henry Clay 22-19. The high school, by the way, not the former Kentucky Statesman, because he's been dead for a long time.
He would have been slow.
This is a guy who hadn't played organized football since he was 10.
And when he decided what he really wanted to do was be a mascot.
Was wear a bulldog suit, exactly.
And finally, a gallon of barbecue sauce circa 1992, intended for use on the McDonald's McJordan sandwich, sold on eBay this week for $9,995. Any worries that a 20-year-old jug of barbecue sauce might have lost some of its kick?
Well, I know barbecue sauces in America that you could leave out on the sidewalk for decades and still be fresh and extraordinarily tasty when you wanted to use them. I have no idea what the McJordan sandwich was. Did it make you jump high? Was it rubberized? Did it have a swoosh? I don't remember the McJordan sandwich.
You can find the sports writing of Charlie Pierce at Grantland, among other places, and please don't send us a McJordan sandwich that you've been saving in the freezer for 25 or 30
years. Auction it instead.
Charlie joins me each week on Only a Game as well. Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks, Bill. Barbecue, 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 barbecue. Gonna get me some before the day is through. I can eat it for breakfast, lunch.